want to do today on the show? What do you want to do today?
We'll do midterm grades.
We'll hit the games, and then we'll do midterm grades, and then we'll do look ahead.
Sure. So there's BG and Toledo are off.
BG and Toledo are off?
Yeah, Michigan and Ohio State don't play anybody, so we don't really need to look ahead.
Buckeyes and the Gophers and the Wolverines and the Badgers don't move the scale for you? Okay.
The needle? Do they move?
You know that Buckeye game? That Buckeye game is.
I'm going up to Ann Arbor if you want to come.
You are?
I am.
My old man's going down to the Ohio State game. It's a night game.
I know.
Against the Golden Gophers.
That's pretty cool.
I always think the night games are cool. My dad hates it, though.
Have you been to a game yet this year?
I have not.
Okay. Are you going to go to?
I'm going to go to Penn State.
Nice. Are you going to cheer for the Buckeyes or cheer against Penn State? Like the Ryder Cup fans who are just busy cheering against Europe and not for...
I told you on this show that James Franklin was a fraud. You were like, hold on, no. And he went out there and did his exact James Franklin stuff.
Yeah, I never said hold on. I am certifiably on the fraud train. All
right. You know who's captain of the fraud train, Dave?
Me.
Heart of the rivalry. The Blades College Football Show that covers the programs of Ohio State, Michigan, Toledo, and Bowling Green. He's columnist Dave Briggs. I am photographer, co-host, and blabber Phil Kaplan. Part of the rivalry is brought to you by Renewal by Anderson and by Dale's Bar in Maumee. Renewal by Anderson, window replacement experts backed by over 120 years of quality and craftsmanship. From consultation to installation, Renewal by Anderson makes upgrading your home easy, beautiful, and worry-free. Dale's Bar and Grill in Maumee, whether you're looking for a table for the whole family or just a bar stool to catch the game, Dale's has you covered with a full menu of sandwiches, wraps, and salads. Combine that with 21 beers on tap. There's something for everyone to enjoy. What did you enjoy the most out of this weekend, and why was it Ohio State stepping on the Washington Huskies' hopes and dreams out at their beautiful, beautiful stadium?
I did find that the most interesting game of the weekend from for our teams. Yeah, I mean, Washington's not an easy place to play. You know, it's certainly probably the most beautiful setting in sports. The water right there, the sailgating, just the mountains. But the hostility kind of belies that setting. They'd won 20. Washington had won 22 straight games in Seattle, and yeah, Ohio State just kind of took it to them. And how impressive is this defense? You know, they lose Jim Knowles. People think that's going to be a big loss. Ohio State loses 8 defensive starters, and yet the defense looks like they're even better. 22 points total Ohio State has allowed through 4 games. 5.7 a game. Best scoring defense in America, and they've played 2 good offenses.
It seems like a fake
crazy
number.
With Texas and Washington. Washington's a great offense. I think they're averaging 50-plus points a game. They've got an electric quarterback, Demond Williams Jr., great runner. I thought Ohio State's game plan was excellent. You know, the one they kind of boxed and bracketed him in the box, did not allow him to kind of escape on the perimeter. Their number one weapon was kind of, you know, messing with the defense and kind of getting him on the outside. And Ohio State just completely bottled all of that up. They bent a little bit, but absolutely did not break. And this is a championship level defense. We'll see about the offense. I think, you know, Ryan Day and Brian Hartline have called it a little bit conservative, and that's understandable with a 19-year-old redshirt freshman going into his first start.
Too conservative for some fans, rabid for 300-yard passing games.
But yeah, I think I've been very impressed by Julian Sayin. The numbers might not be incredible because of, as you mentioned, the conservative game planning, just kind of calling it to win the game. But he really passes the eye test. So
He passes the eye test.
And we'll be getting into grades later. But when you have a quarterback like that and a defense like that, and by the way, Jeremiah Smith is out there. I don't know if there's a great team in college football, but Ohio State's still clear number one for me.
And Carnell Tate, you know, he's a number one on any other team.
Right.
He's a great player. Love to see Bo Jackson getting some run. But more than that, the defense, like you said, at this time of year, to have the defense clicking like that, how much of it do you think is a result of the pencil, Matt Patricia? Are you willing to give him credit, or is it the coach on the field, Caleb Downs, or both?
I think it's both. I mean, certainly, you know, there was criticism of Matt Patricia, not only his Lions tenure, but he really was not that great of a defensive coordinator in New England. If you look at the stats, the years he was not the DC, they're actually statistically less than statistically worse than the years where he wasn't the DC. And he's basically, you know, calling Bill Belichick's defense. It's hard to know if he's just kind of hanging on for the class project of one of the great defensive minds ever. But I think we're seeing what he can do with some of the best talent in America. He's clearly a sharp guy, and we are seeing, I mean, the game plan against...
Is that a pencil pun?
Well, that's a good point.
Thank you.
Very sharp. Yeah, I mean, just look at how much he flustered Arch Manning in week one, and this time, I mean, again, just completely, I think some fans were getting frustrated that they weren't quite getting to the quarterback with the rushes, but that was intentional. They were trying to just kind of push the pocket in and then jump off the blocks when DeMond Williams started running. And you take away his legs, you basically take away half of their offense. And I thought it was just excellent.
They weren't sending blitzers occasionally, but for the most time, there are seven guys that are dropped back in coverage and are four just slowly getting pressure before, you know, he's got to make a choice. And there was a number of times where it's not a sack on paper, but, you know, he scrambles in a passing situation and ends up getting 2 yards.
Oh, yeah.
So great to see the defense playing that well this early in the season. Julian Sand looks, I like you say, his stats might not jump off, but when you watch him play, does he look nervous?
No.
Does he look like he's going to make a mistake? Yeah. Not really. He looks like he's playing in the lane the coaches wanted to play in. So Bucks looking good, looking like the number one team in the country. They got Minnesota coming in at night. That should be fun. I don't know if it'll be competitive. Okay. It's radio, Dave. You got to talk.
Yeah, we'll see.
Okay.
There's nothing to say about that game, Phil. Let's move on.
I know that's the way you also feel about both BG and Toledo's games this past weekend. But Ohio's supposed to be looking like the best team in the MAC, and that game was closer than the 35-20 score may indicate. What'd you think of the Falcons?
Yeah, for sure. It's hard to read too much into it. Again, we keep beating a dead horse, but 50 new players.
That's the
new
secondary name of the show. Part of the rivalry, beating the dead horse.
A coaching staff that comes in March, just kind of throwing everything together. Overall, I've been pretty impressed by Bowling Green, or at least just the overall operation. There's an air of competence here. You're right. Against Ohio, Drew Pine, quarterback, did not have a great day. Three interceptions just kind of sabotaged the... the chances of winning in a tough road environment. Ohio looks like the class of the MAC so far, so no shame in it. We'll learn a lot more about BG next week in the Battle of I-75, or 2 weeks from now, I should say.
Because BG and Toledo both have
BG
off
and
this
Toledo
week.
Are both off, and I think we'll learn a lot more about Toledo. I'll just transition to Toledo here.
Hit
Phil,
me.
It's,
if you're a pro.
Again, kind of Jekyll and Hyde, you know, last week loses a 14-point favorite on the road in a total collapse. This week...
Against
the lowly Zips, but sure. This is the same team they lost to on the road last year. Akron brought back the same quarterback. They're not the old Akron, as in one of the worst teams in the country. Now they're probably, 115th out of 134 teams. So
okay.
Formidable homecoming.
But not in the 130s.
They're no Kent State anymore. So just to come out and just, I believe it was 35-3 at halftime. The numbers were outrageous. I mean, I think Toledo outgained them 500-something to 100-something.
As they should.
But this was a team that was agitated. And before the game, I said that there was going to be no in between. They were either going to grind out a win or they were going to absolutely roll by 100. And
you did say that.
We saw the roll by 100, figuratively. One downside is, backup quarterback John Allen Richter had a scary head injury.
45-minute delay?
I don't know about 45 minutes. I was exaggerating there.
Okay,
but probably,
a long,
it was
serious
20,
delay.
20-plus minutes, yeah. And both teams on the field just kind of, praying. And Akron coach Joe Moorhead right next to Jason Candle. Just kind of, it's one of those things that kind of brings everyone together. Even everybody's trying to, smash each other's heads in on the field, but at the end of the day, you're kind of, there is a shared respect, even when you look at Ohio State and Michigan, everybody is, that's why you, even in the NFL, I can never understand why there would ever be a dirty play. You know, you're kind of all, I don't know.
A dirty play is when somebody's not prepared.
Right.
You know,
right.
not, you know, you take advantage of somebody's guard.
There's a respect for the physical nature of the game.
There is most players.
Among everybody puts into this. So, wishing for the best for Jar. Jason Candle afterwards said he's fine in the big picture sense. We'll see. Carted off in an ambulance. We'll see what that looks like for the rest of the season. But that's kind of secondary concern to his well-being. But yeah, overall, Tucker Gleason, the quarterback that was kind of a little bit embattled.
Did you get an update on his hair?
Looks great. I did not go to the game this week, so I was not able to see it. But I imagine it was a fresh cut
against BG in a couple weeks.
Yeah, so.
You know what's nice about that is, wasn't it last couple years it's been a midweek game? The Toledo-BG game?
It was Saturday last year.
Oh, okay.
It was a great setting, but yeah, before that it wasn't.
It's nice when it's on the week.
Absolutely.
It's nice when it's on a true Saturday. You know, I watched that Ohio State game with an Australian guy.
Okay.
He's a Buckeye
fan. Is he a punter?
You know what he told me? Verifiable fact. Do you know what percentage of punters in college football are Australian?
Oh, yeah, it's like 50%.
It's like 79.
Okay.
79.
Yeah, yeah.
That's 4 out of 5 punters
are
from Australia.
Is your friend not a punter?
He was.
Where did he go wrong?
I think that was, you know, the Aussies punting push was pre his glory days.
Okay.
Or post.
Okay. But he played rugby.
He was a rugby man.
Okay, good.
He was.
Nice.
He was. I heard a great Australian idiom. You want to hear it right
now?
Yeah. Oh, I wish my arm was shorter because it feels like grabbing you.
Oh, that's great. You're giving out grades too.
College athletics.
You actually are a professor. So
well, I'm an instructor. I'm an adjunct instructor.
Professor.
But because
I use
the term adjunct,
you
can call me professor.
Okay.
Just because I have those $5 words
just
falling out of my pockets.
Perfect.
So college football, ostensibly still a student-athlete situation. So we're going to give out some midterm grades. Dave is correct. I'm a visual storytelling instructor at Owens Community College. So, you know, if you're looking for some photography knowledge on basics of photojournalism, the media 101, and just how to be an empathetic person, look into enrolling at Owens.
Yeah.
And I can be your instructor.
And I'm an associate professor of football at the Blade.
He's a footballologist. So let's start out with the highest grades. I think we both have the Buckeyes there.
Yeah, I would give A plus. I guess they could have looked even more impressive against Texas, I suppose. But yeah, with replacing all they did, like we said, 8 new starters on defense, 2 new coordinators, new quarterback. Hard to look any better than they have for all the reasons we stated earlier.
One of the things you talk about in the academic setting is that you grade students based on their progress.
Yeah.
And Ohio State starts out far ahead.
Yeah.
You know, they've got a lot in the barn as far as ability. But they've also done really well in application. The only reason I could not give them an A would just be contrarian for the purposes of this show.
And they're in an honors AP class here. So, I mean, the
standard's
a little higher as
they
a defending
are, but
champion,
they're meeting
so,
the standard.
But they are meeting the standard. So, I mean, you can't punish them for being smart.
Bryce Underwood and the Michigan Wolverines in putting the B in blue. How about that?
Okay, perfect. Yeah, I agree. Are you giving them a B?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, I would too. They certainly are progressing. A lot to like with this Michigan team, especially with the, you know, dealing with two coaches in the first 4 games. But the rushing offense is great. Four straight 100-plus yard games for Justice Haynes, who's looking like an All-American back. The offensive line's playing well. Bryce Underwood, true freshman quarterback's kind of coming along in the same vein of Julian Sand. They're playing it a little conservative, but you can see the flashes there. So the offense has taken a huge step forward. The defense is solid. So take a little bit off for the fairly non-competitive performance at Oklahoma week 2, although that Oklahoma looked really good. But overall, above average, B.
B for Biff Poggi?
B for Biff Poggi, B for Blue, B for Bryce Underwood, B for...
B for getting better. They're getting
beating
better.
Ohio State four straight years.
Oh my God, I can't even believe that's a real number. And because of COVID, you know, Ohio State, we were talking about this just the other day, some Buckeye friends of mine. The Ohio State Buckeyes have not beat Michigan Wolverines since 2019.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not part of the midterm grade.
Yeah.
That's an F, though.
No.
That is an F situation for the Ohio State.
Yep.
So next we have, we're going to do this sort of at the same time, is we put in Bowling Green and Toledo in the same classroom. And I said, you know, I think they have the same grade, even though it feels worse for one. But I said C plus for Bowling Green and C plus for Toledo. You said, I think you got to go C for Toledo. Tell me why you think Toledo is just performing below what BG is, even though Toledo, if they were to play right now in this room, they'd be favored over BG.
They would be favored. They certainly have a lot of talent. I think Toledo is a hard team to grade, especially as an adjunct professor. You could probably either...
A gifted student who's wayward.
A gifted student who maybe isn't applying themselves completely. They are, but they're just maybe applying their energy in the wrong way and just kind of a little lost and, you know, maybe going through some things. But yeah, I think you could either give Toledo a B or you could probably give them a D minus. I don't know. I mean, that sounds kind of crazy, but this was... You have to grade them... In the context of this was setting up to be a special season, everybody with eligibility comes back, unheard of in the NIL era. A lot of NFL draft picks, and then they go out to the transfer portal and add a lot of great players, including Chip Traynham, who's looking like a
seems like
player
he'll play on Sunday.
Yeah. So in that context, the Kentucky loss was disappointing but understandable. Losing at an SEC team,
Toledo was
very competitive, but at Kalamazoo, I mean that's the one that kind of shifts
this
entire grade. It doesn't matter how good you look against Western Kentucky, who's a good team, or how good you look against Akron. It's hard to get that Western Michigan collapse out of your mind yet. Toledo still has a big slate in front of them to get extra credit and get this grade up. But for now, I would probably give them a C or a C minus, just kind of split it in the middle, just based on their high standards for the program.
Does this feel like forgetting to turn in a book report? Is that what the Kalamazoo experience was? Like,
right.
This was low-hanging fruit.
Right.
This was supposed to prime you up.
Yeah, when you have a 99.9% chance to win it at a certain point, yeah, it's just kind of just, yeah.
But on the opposite end,
speechless,
on the opposite end of expectations, almost Bowling Green, Eddie George's Bowling Greeners and Pudge the Catters can do no wrong.
Right.
You know, I mean, unless they come out there and lay an absolute egg every time they come out, it's like, hey, you guys are doing great.
Right. Yeah. No. Again, you have to grade it in the context of an entirely new team, new coaching staff thrown together at the last minute. You know, if you looked at this BG schedule before the season, you were thinking they could very easily be 1-5, maybe 2-4. I mean, two ACC teams on the road. You're penciling those in as losses. Liberty at home, one of the top G5 teams. BG does get that win. That was a great setting and a sold-out Deut. And then at Ohio for the opener, clearly the cream of the league so far, and then home against Toledo in their next game. So 3-3 would be best-case scenario. 2-4 is kind of what you would expect, and 1-5 would have been disappointing but understandable. So they're 2-3. I would probably pick Toledo to win the battle of I-75, but all in all, even the competitive game at Ohio, I would give them slightly above expectations. So I guess maybe a B minus, C plus. I don't know, C plus feels harsh, but I would probably give them something in the B range, honestly.
It's midterm,
right.
So you might want to give them a C-plus to motivate them.
Yeah, no, that's good.
You know,
point.
But a C-plus with distinction.
Yeah, a little above average. What would you give a student who's kind of doing what you expect, but it's not been exemplary?
I tell you exactly what I tell a lot of students who are like that.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Yeah.
You just keep going.
Right.
There's nothing that Bowling Green should do right now other than continuing to define who they're going to be.
Should they continue to play football?
They should keep.
Okay.
I know there was a lot of talk about folding up the program entirely, but I'm advising against that from my position here in the ivory tower.
Okay. And what's your grade?
For Bowling Green?
Yeah.
I told you, I'm going C plus
okay,
and
yeah.
C plus.
And yeah, And they're sitting
next to each other
in those
seats that have the desk on top, and they're just pushing at each other.
Have you ever performed on stage?
All the time. I get up there and I give monologues. I'm a talker,
right. So you've performed
on
stage.
You've seen me do that.
Yeah.
I remember I did that storytelling thing a while ago.
So you've performed on stage. You are, I'm sure you're a professor, just like Eddie George. You have an advanced degree, just like Eddie George.
We're a couple of Renaissance men.
You're both Ohio State graduates.
Do you know we graduated the same year, and we're at, like, he sat a couple rows in front of me at our graduation, which was
really?
In the Oval.
That's awesome. Okay.
Yeah. We had the exact same color suit on.
Really?
We were basically the same person.
Okay. Do you guys still text?
All the time.
Nice.
All the time.
Okay.
I was like, I know you're, this is what I told him. I was like, you got to go out there and keep playing football.
Because, yeah. I mean, he was as down as anybody after the Ohio game. And just like, I should be.
Sell the helmets.
Seven games left.
Sell the helmets.
All right.
I know that this is a football show, but we would not be doing our jobs as sports thinkers if we did not acknowledge the end of the Major League Baseball season, and especially our local teams, the Guardians and the Tigers. And after battling it out against each other, they're going to battle it out against each other.
Should be fun. Speaking of grades, first of all, F for Team USA. Got my Bethpage State black shirt on today.
Which he's not perpetrating. He played it.
Did play it a couple years ago. That was fun. F for Tigers in September, A for Guardians in September. Now we'll see. In no sport is there less correlation between how you're playing going in and how you play in October. I mean, momentum is just such a
none of it matters.
Fickle, whimful, crazy mistress. And once you get to October, I think of the 2005 White Sox. You know, this is an Indians fan. They have a 15-game lead in August. Guardians, Indians, whatever, cut it to 1.5 games. White Sox go on to win the World Series. Tigers the next year, 2006, kind of the rebirth year with Jim Leland. They blow a 10-game August lead of their own, lose the division, go on to win the pennant. So none of this matters.
None of that is as historic as 15.5.
No, this is still the same Tigers team that entered May, June, July, August, and September with the best record in the AL. So this is still a team to fear, especially with Tarek Skubal, best pitcher in baseball, going in game one tomorrow in Cleveland. I am really fascinated. I mean, this is the Guardians have almost a year after the Tigers authored the most improbable comeback we've really ever seen. The Guardians have kind of just wrote the exact sequel. It's just a lot of fun. And last year we talked, is Tigers Guardians a rivalry? And it really wasn't, because there's no real, you know, Guardians Tigers fans don't really feel any animosity towards each other, but having a hard-fought series last year, the collapse this year, just the tight pennant race. I think it's a lot of fun. And this is kind of the new rivalry we have for the heart of the rivalry. I think we're going to talk about Ohio State, Michigan, Bowling Green, Toledo, and Tigers and Guardians going forward. And
not,
I think even
but not the Browns.
No. Even in November, I think we have to have like a weekly Tigers and Guardians segment.
The Browns did play the Tigers, or the Lions.
Did not watch any of that.
I went out, you know, in downtown Toledo, there's the Middle Grounds Metro Park.
Yeah.
But also just to the north of it, to the north of the bridge, there's that open field that's part of the Owens Camp, the Owens Sporting Campus.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's a cool place.
I hung out there with my dog, tossed the frisbee. I saw a wild fawn run through.
Just listening to it on the radio?
Just watching it on YouTube TV.
Okay. Nice.
All of my viewing habits and all of our teams on the heart of the rivalry, except the Cleveland Browns, are brought to you by Renewal by Andersons and Dale's Bar and Grill in Maumee. Ready to transform your home with Renewal by Anderson? Buy one window or door and get another 40% off, but only through the end of the year. Schedule your free consultation today at renewalbyanderson.com. And Dale's Bar and Grill in historic Uptown Maumee. Catch the college football action as well as NFL and MLB playoffs at Dale's, one of the premier Buckeye bars in Northwest Ohio. Wolverines still welcome. I'm sure they also mean Falcons and Rockets.
Yeah, and Tigers and Guardians.
You're going to go to that for sure.
What's that?
I hope I get to shoot it. The Falcons
Toledo. Oh, yeah, next week. Should be fun. Starting at noon on ESPNU.
Love that. I'll see you there, Dave.
Love it. Thanks, Phil.